Our assigned lectionary gospel lesson for this Sunday of Epiphany comes again from the fifth chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 13. You are the light of the world. That was verse 14. Let me start at 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. May God bless the reading and the hearing of these words. Amen. Last Sunday, we looked at the first 12 verses of Matthew 5, known as the Beatitudes, which is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And you may remember that the point was not that these pronouncements were instructions on how to obtain and keep God's blessing, but rather that God's blessing is already on us, especially upon those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are persecuted for seeking justice. And we learn that contrary to society's understanding, God's favor is bestowed upon those whom our culture regards as the least among us, the left behind, the outcasts, the vulnerable, the ones that society thinks are not blessed. And I mentioned at the end of that sermon that it was important to know that God's unearned blessing comes to us first. Then comes Jesus' instructions for right living. So that pivot takes place in the verses that follow the Beatitudes, our gospel reading for this morning. And let me introduce this by mentioning that there is an old saying, especially popular in my parents' day and before, used in reference to persons who are honest, well-grounded, forthright, trustworthy, and of good, solid moral character. You know what? It was quite a compliment to say about another, that person is the salt of the earth. So let me ask, who are the persons in your life, or who you know, who fit this description? You know, it's an interesting saying that can be traced back to biblical days. And it said that Jesus used it in reference to our identity and our purpose. And Jesus declares to a large following of disciples, you are the salt of the earth. And he followed that up with another declaration, you are the light of the world. It's as if we're being taught that God has made us, has blessed us, and then gave us a particular purpose in life. But what is that purpose? Well, let's take a look. First, even in very small quantities, salt and light can make a big difference to a much larger whole. A pinch of salt brings a dish's flavor alive. Indeed, salt is one of the only spices that can enhance and bring out other flavors in a dish of food. And even a little bit of light, say just one candle, can light up a room. It can dispel shadows, and it can even light up a landscape. I read this week that a study shows that one candle can be visible from nearly a mile and a half away. That's guidance. Well, second, both salt and light have very simple, elemental purposes. As a seasoning, salt is, as the children said, salt is salty. No one would use salt if it had lost its taste. Salt is for saltiness. Its identity and its purpose are virtually one and the same. And likewise, light is for shining. No one lights a lamp and then hides it out of sight. So what is Jesus trying to tell us as his followers? How are we to follow his ways and teachings? Well, in the same way, your and my identity and purpose, who we are and what we are meant to do, are virtually one and the same. Like salt and light, God made us as a small thing that can make a big difference to a larger whole. And God made you and me to spice things up. Not to overpower the dish, but to enliven it, enhancing and highlighting other flavors. And God made you and me to shine, as only you and I can. A flame that can light up an entire room and help dispel those shadows or guide a lost traveler home. Now, Jesus isn't giving his listeners a new role to play here. Rather, he is naming who they already are. We do not have to become salt and light. We are already salt and light. God made us this way, blessing us with gifts for blessing this world. But there is something we have to do. We do have to claim, embrace, embody, fulfill, and live out what our gifts make possible. We do have to actually be salty and luminous. We do have to be who we are. Now, I'd venture to guess that College Hill is known as being a fairly salty church. It certainly is within Eastern Oklahoma Presbytery, for we have a history of spicing things up. And we are all aware that we are more light. Explain that to those who don't quite get the joke there later. So go and bless. And Jesus, in the continuation of his sermon, will go on to provide some instructions, which we will begin to look at next Sunday, for how best to do all of that. Now, let me say it again. Jesus' sermon is designed to make clear that our good works, including the actions he will now recommend in the rest of his sermon and beyond, are not strategies for earning or acquiring blessings. On the contrary, they are tangible ways to respond to our blessedness and in gratitude and confidence. But before turning to specific instructions, Jesus adds one more introductory note that's also part of this morning's gospel reading. It's a little tougher. Some of the teachings to come, he says, may at first sound rather different from what you have heard in the law, as in the laws of Moses from the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. Jesus' message is something like this. But don't worry. If you follow my instructions, you'll more fully embody the essential features of what Moses taught, filling out and exemplifying the law's meaning, spirit, and substance. Jesus asks, do you see? I'm not about abolishing or changing the law. I'm about getting to the heart of the law and fully living it out. Well, the basic idea here is by no means new. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, along with many other prophets, pointed out centuries before Jesus that it's quite possible to adhere to a superficial letter of the law while at the same time violating its inner heart or the spirit of the law. You know, religious practices are permanently vulnerable to this type of hypocrisy. Since ostensibly identical actions can be carried out via drastically different motivations, it is the motivation that counts. For example, Christians may pray earnestly for our neighbors, even as we demonstrate our contempt for them. Dear Lord God, help them to be more like us. Here's the bottom line. Superficially following the law isn't enough. What really counts is to fulfill the law, to bring it to life, to embody its meaning, its spirit, and its substance. And doing so may take some surprising forms, as we will see. That's part of next week. But returning once more to our God-given identity and purpose, let us also be reminded of the warnings that Jesus includes in his teaching. He tells us that if salt has lost its taste, it is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. Likewise, as the light of the world, a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden, no one puts a lit lamp under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand. That way our light shines before others so that they may see our good works and then give glory to God. Alex Patchell McNeil is the executive director of the More Light Presbyterian Network, a pioneering organization going back to 1968, which has worked continuously for the full equality of the LGBTQ community in the life and ministry of our denomination. And College Hill joined this network of inclusive churches back in 2001, after a couple years of studying the issue and its implications. Well, Alex sent out an email a few years ago reflecting on this scripture passage from Matthew 5. And Alex, you may be interested to know, is a female-to-male transgender person. And he offers the following challenge in connection with the times when we hide our light under a bushel. He writes, "In this text, Jesus is coming to us to ask, how might we be the ones holding tightly to the bushel baskets over our heads? Where are the places we've allowed our light to be dimmed? The problem with clinging so tightly to our own bushel baskets is that it means we cannot see the light of others, nor can we be a point of light for someone who is sitting in darkness. Without light, how can darkness know it can be illuminated?" Well, Alex goes on to challenge those of us who are part of the More Light Presbyterian Network to help hoist the bushel basket off of our own congregations and our denomination. And that has been a primary task of College Hill within our presbytery for nearly 20 years now. That's something to celebrate. But this should also remind us that we do not have to be salt and light alone, all by ourselves, but should take advantage of those opportunities when we join with others who are also doing good works in the same manner. For example, our work within the progressive and interfaith communities here in Tulsa is a very important part of our collective ministry. And Fellowship Congregational Church, UCC, on Harvard, has certainly become a sister church of ours in this regard. For we are indeed acting as a lighthouse every time we allow God's light of peace and justice and love to shine through us and to be reflected off of us. And we do this not out of a sense of self-serving pride to boast and boost our own status in the community, but as a way to glorify God by simply doing what we are created to do. Well, throughout this year ahead, then, may we as individuals and as a community of faith concentrate on reasserting our presence, our very selves, our identity and purpose, our mission and ministry into the communities and world around us. For we must also remember that in order for our light to be seen and to have any effect, we must be willing to go where the darkness exists and to engage and to walk through it, so that in time the light may overcome it. So yes, as always, a bit of risk for us may be involved. But in doing so, let us claim our identity and purpose, our mission and ministry by being and doing what we already are. We are salt, enhancing, spicing up, and adding flavor to life. We are light, illuminating the darkness in and through our good works. So I'll leave you with this. Spice and shine, my friends, and to God be the glory.